verses this morning, verses 20 through 23. The women at the cross, I think you all could see today that in their humanness, they could not understand the suffering. I don't think Mary could. I don't really think any of them really could. They were suffering, but they did not understand. But today we are going to understand what happened, because Peter is going to make it clear to us, like, why did all this happen? Suffering is a part of life. And I think many times we're just not prepared for it, like the women were. And I think it all gets twisted and turned, and our life journey can go off course because of our pain. And I think our struggle to face pain leads us to an honest examination of all of life. In our suffering, I think we begin to ask difficult and really searching questions, like these women did. Not just about God, but about life in general, about our faith. I see that with those women, and I think that's still happening today for many, many people. And I think in that twist and turns of our suffering, I think, we can respond in a lot of different ways. I think many times our emotions, as we can see even with the women there, are very strong, and our feelings want to control us. And I think that's what happens in our suffering also. Our feelings want to control us. But I don't think it's just our emotions. I think in suffering, how many of you know your mind gets affected? It's not just emotional. Your mind gets affected, and it's easy to get confused. It's easy to just get distorted. It's hard to make a good decision when you're suffering. It's very, very difficult. But this morning, I really want to look at two questions that I think the women asked at the cross. And the first question really is, how and why did Jesus suffer? I think that's the first question that needs to be answered. And the second question needs to be, then how are we as followers of Christ to respond when we suffer in our own lives? Does that make sense? And this morning, my hope is to answer both of those questions. In the passages we're going to read today, Peter clearly speaks about the suffering of Jesus. And he's going to clearly say that the suffering of Jesus was to give you and I an example of how to suffer. That's major. Today, we're going to read about the suffering of Jesus, and really it's going to come from three dimensions. First is, we're going to see Jesus suffering as a model for us. That's number one. The women at the cross, I don't think, understood that. The second thing we're going to see in the scripture today is that Jesus suffers not just as an example for us, but he suffers as our sin bearer. Does that make sense? And then three, he suffers as our shepherd. And so those three dimensions of who Jesus is and understanding of what he was doing is really very important to Peter. And Peter's going to explain it to us very clearly. So let's open up our Bibles and let's read from the Word of God what was really happening at this time. 1 Peter. We've been reading last week. I went over 1 Peter chapter 1. Today I want to look at chapter 2. And I'd like to start in verse 20. You all have that? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. This is Peter speaking about the suffering of Christ. He says, "But not, how is it to your credit if you received a beating for doing wrong and you endured it?" It's a great question. How many of you have ever done some stuff wrong And you were paid the consequences for it. He said, what credit would that be to you? You already knew what you did was wrong. But he says this. But if you suffer for doing good, and then you endure it, he says what? This is actually commendable before God. Wow. And then he says, in an astonishing way, to this you were called. Why? Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Is that clear?
Amen.
He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Truly, he was the Son of God. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, what did he do? He entrusted himself to him who judges correctly. This is the word of the Lord. It's a powerful word. It's a difficult word, but I think it's one that as believers we can understand. The first thing I want to say is that I think Peter makes it clear, first of all, that we have been called to suffer. But to suffer for what is right. And then when you do what's right, you patiently have to endure the suffering. And knowing as a result that if you do that, you find what? Favor with God. The scripture is very, very clear. When I look at this, I oftentimes think about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Spoke to you last week that as Christians, we are what? Remember last week? We are God's elect, and we are strangers to this world. So who are you? You are God's elect, and you are a stranger. And if you're a follower of Christ, then obviously you're going to be looked upon as strange. Yes. How many people think of you as strange? Why? Because you don't live like the world lives. Do you understand that? Why? You've been elected, and you are a stranger to this world. Your home is in heaven. And so we don't live like the world. And the world has no understanding of why we live the way we do. You all understand that, right? Zero understanding. None. And as a result, we are seen as different. And that world that looks at Christians as being different is hostile towards us. They are hostile towards the ways of God. As a result of that, what's going to happen to the Christian? We are going to be unjustly punished. We will be unjustly criticized. Amen? Why? How? I believe sometimes it could be verbal. I think sometimes it can be physical. I think sometimes you might be ostracized. People don't want to be around you. Why? You're different. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. This earth is not your home.
Amen.
That's why. We are going to suffer. My hope is we do what Peter says. We suffer for doing what is right. How many know there's a suffering when you do things wrong? You all got that one, right? When you do something wrong, you will suffer. There's a consequences to what you did. We all know that. But Peter says, but what if you suffer for doing something right? And I really believe if we do what's right, I believe the world is going to be offended. How many of you have done something right and found that in doing something right, Jesus healed the sick, he raised the dead, he fed the people, he did what? Good. And yet, what happened? He's got to suffer. Why? Because the world is not going to accept that. Peter says the exact same thing to us. Peter says we're going to suffer. If we do what's right, it will offend the world. But the good news is, this is commendable to God. How many know it's commendable to God? I don't think this is easy, but I do believe it is commendable to God. Favor with God is found when we are treated unjustly. And then we deal with this poor treatment by other people. And we put our trust in the Lord. We know that he's over us. He cares for us. And so rather than responding in anger and hostility and bitterness, we don't do that. I put up today, as I was looking at the scripture, a little chart. Peter, facing unjust and poor treatment, because it will happen to you. It does happen to us. And kind of want to just make it clear, like there's two different ways you can respond, according to Peter, right? One is you can, when you're mistreated, you can seek God and God's peace, correct? How many know you can do that? You can go to God and say, you know what, I'm being mistreated here. I'm trying to do what's right, but it seems like everyone's against me. But you find what? Peace with God. The wrong response is what? You get angry and you try to get even with people. It's not what you're supposed to be doing, right? You have an option of, okay, I'm suffering, I'm trying to help these people, and so I'm being persecuted, but really I'm going to what? I'm going to have my faith in God. That's a response we can have. Or you could get hostile towards people, right? They're hostile to you, so what do? You're hostile to them. But that is not your response. It cannot be. Why? Because Jesus didn't do it, right? You can say, I'm being mistreated, I'm suffering, it's very difficult for me. But you know what? I'm going to what? Trust in God's sovereign care over me. God's got to take care of me in this. Or you could rebel. And Peter's clear that if you persevere and you endure, then what are you going to get? You're going to get God's favor. And if you don't do it that way, what are you going to get? Turmoil. How many of you want turmoil? A lot of people get turmoil. They get turmoil because they don't do this, correct? You all understand that? I think the Bible is very clear on this. And I really want to encourage you, do what's right. So oftentimes we don't do what's right, and we say, okay, we know what the good we're going to do. It's too hard to do the good we're going to do. So we don't do the good we're going to do, and then what happens to you? Now you are disobedient to God, and you're hurt. So now what do you get? Turmoil. That's what happens. My encouragement to you is do what's right. When you get hurt and when you suffer, you endure. You endure it, as Peter says, right? And what do you find? You receive what? God's favor, and not turmoil. You all understand that? Stick with God's favor. The second thing I see here is so clear is in verse 21. Peter now says in verse 21, he says, to what? To this you were called. Okay, so what are you called to? You're called to have peace with God. You're called to keep your faith. You're called to put your trust in God. You're called to receive God's blessing. Do you understand that? To this is what you have been called. While you're suffering, this is the call of God on you. But then he goes on and says, for this you were called. For what reason would you call to do that? Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you, what? An example. That what? You and I should follow that. Is that not clear? It's very clear. We're called to this. Jesus is our example. In his suffering, he sets the standard for our suffering. When the women were at the cross, what was the question? Why are you suffering? Well, you guys now know the answer. The answer is what? To give you an example that when you're doing what's right and you're sticking to the truth and people come against you, now what? Jesus is your example. Is that not clear? Jesus is your example. This is how you are to do it. Why? Because this is how Jesus did it. It's very powerful. He's our example. How many know Christ went through a lot of suffering? He was a man of suffering, the Bible says in Isaiah. Why does he do it? To be your example of how to live when you're suffering. He suffered for you, leaving us an example. The Greek word here for example is hupogamos. Hupogamos, and it actually means riding under. So I was very interested in this, because if Jesus is the example, I was like, how does this work? So this word, hupogamos, actually means riding under. You all know riding under means? The only way I could figure riding under means would be like, it's like having a carbon copy. So you all know how a carbon copy works? So you got a page, right? Then you take the carbon copy, and what do? Put the carbon copy under the page, and then what happens on the second page? Everything that was written on the first page, because of the carbon copy, is now on the second page. Because the first page was your example. The first was your pattern. So that when you, think about it, so hupogamos, that when those things were, when Jesus was suffering, what's he really saying? As a carbon copy, what? You should do what? Exactly the same. So you're to be a carbon copy. Amen? It's very wonderful. I was like, whoa, that's cool. I mean, he's giving me an example. And then he says, to this you were called because Christ was leaving you an example. And then he says what? That you should follow in his steps, footsteps. So I was like, wow, this is what it's all about. Like carbon, my life is to be a carbon copy of Jesus Christ. The way he did it is the way you should do it. It's the way I should do it. Not only did he leave me an example, but he says, Peter says, you are to follow in his footsteps. So I looked up the word footsteps. It's kind of interesting. The word footsteps, actually, the Greek word is ichnos. And it actually means, his steps actually means a footprint. So you know what a footprint is, right? So if somebody was, let's say, in the snow, and they had to climb a big mountain, you would let them go first, right? Why? It'd be a lot easier for you. Why? Because they're going to go ahead of you, and they're going to do the hard work, and you're going to want to climb that same mountain, and where are you going to go? You're going to put your feet in their footsteps. Do you understand that? So you're to be a carbon copy, and you need to follow in his steps, the way he would do it. Is that not clear? It's very clear. There is suffering. I sometimes hear Christians, I don't know about you, but I've heard Christians say to me, Christians who suffer are out of the will of God. Oh, you haven't heard? Yeah, sure, I've had Christians say that. You're out of the will of God. I've had them say, when a believer suffers, he is not claiming his available resources. totally unbiblical. There's no way that could line up with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21. That would be impossible. Y'all understand that? So don't believe that. Do not believe that. Not biblical to believe that. But now Peter goes on and he says to them, so if he's the carbon copy, he's the original, you're the copier, he's leading the steps, you're to follow in them, then the next question has got to be what? Well, what did he do? Because you're supposed to follow what he did, correct? So Peter now is going to describe to you exactly what Jesus did. Are you ready? And what did he do? Verse 23 says, when they hurled insults at him, what did he do? He did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats back. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Some of you would say, Pastor, it must be hard to be a Christian. Yes. But this is what you're called to be. This is what you're called to do. Why? Because this is what Jesus did. Is that not clear? When they hurled insults at him. I was thinking of this. Hurling insults. How many of you know at this point, Jesus' life was a life of suffering? When he went to the cross, he probably was at his maximum suffering. And so what's happening is, while he's on the cross, what are they doing? They're hurling insults at him. Verbal insults, correct? What are they saying? Think about it, hurling at him. How many times do you think this was done? Once? No, hurling. On and on and on. And what are they saying? They're insulting him. They're saying negative things about him. They're critical of him. They're not happy with him, and they're clearly telling him whatever they want to say to him. And it's all what? Insults. Have you ever been insulted like that? Where people have said to you things, and they insult you, and they hurl things at you that you don't even believe are true, but they think are true. But don't forget, you are a carbon copy. You are supposed to what? Walk in footsteps, same ones that Jesus did. Even when they're hurling. And what's he do? When they're hurling insults at him. He does not what? Retaliate. How many of you are good at this? How many of you, when someone attacks you verbally, you close your mouth? You don't talk. Or how many of you, when you're insulted and people are attacking you, you do exactly what they did to you. So now they insult you, so what do you do to them? You now insult them. You actually go to the low level they went to, right? They're insulting, so now you become insulting because you have to defend yourself. But you all know that's not biblical, right? Is the Bible not clear on this? They hurl these things at him, but he does not what? He does not retaliate. Now, could he have retaliated? He is the Son of God. Could he not have called angels? Could he not have called his Father? Could he said, Father, destroy them? Could he not have done that? He could have done that. But does he do it? So he has the power to do it. And so do you. But you know something different, right? You know the example of Jesus Christ. That he didn't do it, and neither should you. You should not let your mouth control you. Why? How many of you know your mouth is a real problem? We things happen to us, and the first thing comes out of our mouth, right? No. You want to be a carbon copy, and you want to walk in the steps of Jesus. So you don't come against them. I was talking to a neighbor of mine this past week, and he lived this out for me. He was telling me how he and his neighbor were fighting and arguing, and at the end of the day, they really didn't like each other. And so about a week went by, and the neighbor had some people over the house, and they were having an outdoor party. And he decided that he would have all this stuff he was burning. And as the more he put stuff on the burner, the house was so close that all the smoke was going to his neighbor's house. So he was telling me, in my heart, what was he going to do? He was going to retaliate. He watched all those people not like the smoke in their face. But he remembered the hurt the man had said to him. And so you know what he did? Put more stuff on the fire so that the smoke and the dark smoke would go into his neighbor's face. And he knew exactly what he was doing. And what was it? Retaliating. He was not an example of Jesus Christ. Which one do you do? Do you retaliate with your mouth? Do you speak things that should never come out of your mouth? Are you following the example of Jesus Christ when you're suffering? And it is suffering. I'm not minimizing. You may be suffering. You may be hurt. My question is your response. Are you responding the way Jesus would respond? Or do you say things you know you should never say? And I'll tell you what you're going to create. Remember that first list I told you? You're going to create turmoil. Not the favor of God. You are creating turmoil in your own life because you're disobedient to what God wants you to do. You all understand that, right? Boy, he's right on, isn't he? And when he suffered, tell me the second thing he did. He not only did not retaliate when he suffered. Tell me what else he does not do. He does not make threats. How many of you make threats? You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You said this, I'll get you back. Wait one time, when you're not looking, I'll get you. You do exactly what Jesus Christ did not do. Is this word not clear? Is this, you? Did Jesus retaliate? No. Could Jesus have made threats to them? Wait till I get to my Father. Wait till you get to heaven. You want to be threatened, I want to threaten you. Did he have the power to do that? Yes. Did he do it? No. And why didn't he do it? As an example to you about how to live. Is that scripture clear? Very clear. I may not like it, but it's very clear. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he did not threaten them. Wow, this is awesome. You're different. I mean, no, you're different. Actually, what did Jesus say when he was on the cross? When they hurled insults at him, what did he actually say to them? He goes to his Father and he says, Father, what? Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. How many of you ever said those words? Let's practice. Yeah, no, I know. Let's practice it though. Father, forgive them, for they do not know. Some of you are struggling with this. Let's say it again. If you can't say it in church, you're probably not going to be able to say it to them. So let's practice this again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Practice that. If you had a hard time saying that today, practice it. Practice it. Wow. It's awesome. Amen? Amen. See, Jesus knew that the glory of God would come through a path of suffering. So he doesn't operate in revenge. Amen? He knows that. He knows that. It's awesome. But I think verse 23 is the verse I've been clinging on to as I've read Peter about Jesus and why he suffered. Boy, verse 23 for me has been like, I can get 20 and 21 and I can get 22. 23 is really what we need. Listen to what Peter says in 23. He, what? Entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Isn't that awesome? So I looked up this word for entrusted. The Greek word here actually means to hand over to someone to keep. So what does it mean? To hand over to someone to keep. And Jesus is doing what? He's handing over his life to his Father. That's what he's doing. Do you remember on the cross what Jesus said when they were hurling insults at him? Spitting on him, physically abusing him, emotionally, words, verbal. Do you remember the words Jesus says to him? Not only, Father, forgive them, but he says what? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. What's Jesus doing? Into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. He is giving over to his Father, his life. Jesus is suffering, and he's taking his suffering, and he's handing his suffering over to the care of God. Is that awesome? Have you ever done that? I know sometimes we'll say, well, I hand my life over to God. I'm not asking you, because I know you can say that. My question is, can you hand your suffering over? How many know they're different? Oh, I know to say we can hand our life over. Have you ever said you hand your life over and then you're suffering and you keep your suffering? Maybe that's a better question to ask. I think we're experts at this, actually. We take the hurt we have and we come to church and we say, okay, I'll follow you, Lord. I love you. God, you're so good. And we say everything. But our hurt, we want to hold on to. And tell me what that's, what if a Christian were to do that? What are they going to end up with? Suffering and turmoil. Have you ever thought of turning your pain over to God? I mean, seriously. Have you thought of ever turning your pain, your suffering over to God? What did Jesus do? Jesus handed it over. He said, Father, I entrust myself. And who's he's, I love this. Who's he entrusting himself to? To him who judges correctly. So here's Jesus. Are the people wrong? Are the people wrong? Yeah. Is he getting hurled at all this stuff? Yeah. But he's not retaliating. He's not revengeful. He's saying, look, what? God, my Father knows everything. My Father sees my response. My Father knows the words that are coming out of their mouth. So you know what I'm going to do? What's he going to do? I'm going to entrust my hurt and my sorrow and my pain to a God I trust. You know how awesome this is? I figure this is how he got through. He entrusted it. Trusted it. I really want to encourage you. Jesus knows that his Father sees everything. You ever get yourself in such turmoil that you forget that God knows everything? Have you ever gotten yourself in such turmoil where you go, I am in such turmoil. And you forget. What did you forget? Does God see? Does God see? Does God love you? Does God got a plan? Were you in church today? Did you hear the right response you should have? Yeah. Sometimes our suffering, as I said in the beginning, throws our emotions and our minds way, way off. I really want to encourage you. Entrust your suffering. This is what Jesus did. And this is what he says you should do. Does he not? Is this clear? This is what Jesus, this is what I have done with my Father. He's a just God. People don't understand. I have people crying. I'm upset. But what am I going to do? I'm entrusting everything to my Father, especially my pain. And you should do exactly the same. Is that not what Jesus, what Peter taught? It is very, very clear. But I really want to say to you, we have to take great confidence in the fact that God sees everything. When people don't understand, when I don't understand my own hurt, and I'm suffering, and I go, Lord, it's so hard, it's so difficult, I've got to know what? God, you are a sovereign God. God, you see everything. God, you know, and you will rightly judge this. Correct? And so I put my confidence in God. I entrust him with my pain. And I let the Lord work the way he wants to work. Is this pretty clear, isn't it? I'm not saying it's easy. But the scriptures are very, very clear. And I really just want to encourage you. It's not easy. I'm not here telling you it's easy. When you're misunderstood and you're hurting and your life is very painful, it's not easy. In closing this morning, Tony's here, and Tony's going to come and has a song he'd like to sing today. And Colleen's coming and going to sing a song. And as you think about the scripture, just I want you to listen to the song they're going to sing this morning. for freedom, amen. God wants you free. But you know, I know many of you are suffering. And I know many of you are in turmoil. But I really want to say to you today, God loves you. Never forget how much God loves you. And I want to remind you that God sees. He sees everything. He sees the things that other people have done to you. He sees the hurt that's been caused in your heart. But we have a God who will judge correctly. Don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. Let Jesus be our example, amen? And do what Jesus did. He entrusted his suffering to his Father. And that's what I know God wants us to do when we suffer, is to take our suffering and give our suffering to the Lord. Scriptures are clear, but I also know it's a decision. And I know in the midst of emotions, when they're so strong and when our mind is so distorted and hard to make good decisions, I want to encourage you to entrust your pain, your suffering to the Lord. Give it to Him. Let Him take it. His favor will be on you as you release it to Him. If you're here today and you're suffering, you're hurt, it's a decision we make. We decide to give it to the Lord. But I will promise you, you'll find freedom when you give it to Him. You'll find God's favor when you give it to Him. He is a sovereign God. He's over everything, even our hurts. If you're here today and you want to give your hurt to the Lord, I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to come and not just give your life, give your hurt, your pain, the thing that's upsetting you and causing you turmoil. Give it. Give that. Give that turmoil and pain to God. Don't keep it. It'll only create more turmoil in your life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You for this morning, and Your word is powerful. It goes deep inside us. We hear it. We know it. I pray for a divine intervention, that it would go deep in us. Go to a place where we can release it. And know, Lord, it's Your plan that we release it. Not to hold on to it, but give it to You, God. And Lord, we do that today. And I pray as we do, a peace over us. We have a peace. We have a faith. We have a trust in a just God. And we don't have to defend ourselves. Just live like You did, Lord. Just live like You did. We can't do it on our own. We need You, God. You and You alone. So we give everything to You, God. We thank You for this morning. Thank You for all that You're showing us. Let it go deep inside us, God. Let Your truth go deep in us. And may that truth free us as we live for You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.